Joseph and his brothers dwelt peacefully in the land of Egypt. They buried their father in the promised land, just as he had asked them to. And they raised their families. They saw many generations grow up. And they dwelt there in the land of Goshen, outside of Egypt itself. But as it is inevitable, as happens to all of us, they grew old and they died. Joseph lived long enough to hold his great-great-grandchildren. There's a verse that talks about them sitting on his knee. It's a beautiful verse. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50. We can read some of these last words that Joseph spoke, or at least the last words that we have recorded that he had spoken. Genesis 50 and verse 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph had the utmost confidence in his God, and that was evident in his life. He'd seen firsthand his own deliverance and the deliverance of his entire family, the benefit to his family that God had brought. Now, whether it was in a dream or a vision, or if God had given him this understanding, he knew that one day God would again come and deliver his people. He knew that his God was faithful. After all, they hadn't yet been given that promised land that God had promised them. They hadn't received it yet. So surely there was something more than them just dwelling in this land that wasn't their own. At this time of year that we're in right now, we're instructed by God to do a lot of remembering. We remember a lot of things. Last night, we remembered two events as we read through scriptures and took part in the Passover. In the front of our minds, we recalled the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We rehearsed the Passover in the way that he instructed his disciples to do, with foot washing, unleavened bread, and with wine. These are symbols of his service, of his sacrifice, and his shed blood for us. And in the back of our minds, we remembered the first Passover, when the people of Israel slaughtered lambs and they brushed the blood on their doorposts. And God, that night, as they sat in their homes ready to travel, God saw the blood and passed over them, only killing the firstborn of the people and animals of Egypt. Now let's read a little bit of the details of this time, the 10th plague in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, we see here the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. Exodus 12, starting in verse 12, it says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Those powerful words from God. Verse 13, Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Dropping down now to verse 29 in Exodus 12. Verse 29, And it came to pass, whenever God says he's going to do something, and it's his will that it happened, Then it happens. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Verse 30, So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So for the Egyptians, it was a very sad, distressing night. But for God's people, They were kept safe. Now that was the breaking point for Pharaoh. And God's people were promised deliverance. And on this day, today, we remember that deliverance. Here, Pharaoh finally gave in to the will of God, at least outwardly, not in his heart, though. The anger that he felt against God and his people continued to burn. It never left him, even up to the point of his death later on in the Red Sea. But he did let them go. But in his already hardened heart, he held that anger tightly. Exodus 12, verse 31, as we continue on. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both of you, and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." So that's what the people were called to do, to go to serve their God in a place that their God had commanded them to do so. Verse 32, "Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also." It's almost like false humility there. Like he's crying out to God, "Bless me also," when he doesn't really mean it. God brought his people out of the land of Egypt very powerfully. And he demonstrated that by allowing his people to plunder the Egyptians on the night when they came out. Those who previously put them to work now urged them to leave quickly and even gave the people of Israel all kinds of wealth, gold and silver, almost like a parting gift for the work that they had forced them to do. And some of them, in their fear, even went with the Israelites when they left. Verse 33, "And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.'" If those plagues continued, that's what they assumed would happen. They would all be dead. And if Pharaoh didn't let God's people go, then no doubt that's what would have happened. So the people, in verse 34, took their dough. This is talking about the people of Israel. They took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. So we get this understanding of at least one reason why God uses unleavened bread, why there are the days of unleavened bread, because the people left urgently. There was no time to let the dough rise. Verse 35, "Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians." So we see these people who previously oppressed them now giving them whatever they asked. We see that power that only came about because of God's hands, because of the miracles that he performed in bringing the plagues. And in their haste to leave Egypt, spoils in hand, the Israelites only had time to bake unleavened cakes. They couldn't grab the dough that had been rising. They were supposed to throw that out anyway. God had instructed them. Even the bread we will eat tonight and all this week reminds us of this time when God's people swiftly and mightily left and they were released from captivity. It's called the bread of affliction in some places, but it's also a bread of celebration. Now, thankfully, I have a wonderful cook at home. I keep her on hand, and she bakes all kinds of delicious unleavened goodies. I think she even brought some here. If you need some unleavened goodies, I know a lady. So just give me a call. I'll help you out there. But this bread is a bread of celebration, a reminder of the freedom from sin and from slavery. It's a beautiful reminder. It's unusual for us to only eat matzahs and other unleavened bread for a week, at least for the majority of us. That's a beautiful symbol that God gave us. Verse 37, as we continue reading here, "Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot," which is the same name as tabernacle. It's a temporary dwelling. "About 600,000 men on foot besides children." Verse 38, "A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock." So they had wealth. All of a sudden, they were wealthy people. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. And also God told them not to. And they followed that. It was a night to be remembered when they left. A night of solemn observance, as we'll read. A night that God had brought them out of Egypt. Now, there was the night before where he'd passed over their houses by night. A night to be remembered. And then the following night, when they walked out free. A second night to be remembered. They came out of that land and left in a hurry. Verse 40, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Nobody stayed behind. Nobody stayed behind. Everybody went. All of God's people and a mixed multitude. Some of the Egyptians left with them. In verse 42, this is where we get the name for what we call the night tonight. It is a night of solemn observance. Some translations say it's a night to be remembered. Sometimes we call it the night to be much observed. That observance being watchful, watching, seeing what God is doing, and watching out also because their enemies are behind them, but God is watching them, watching their back. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. This is a night for us to remember. We remember the past, and we teach this to our children, and so that they can remember these same lessons. And these lessons of the past help us to look forward to future times of salvation, of saving from evil, from sin, from all sorts of things that are against God. Tonight, we gather to eat a meal in various places, let's remember that this is a meal of celebration. In the front of our minds, of course, we'll be remembering how God brought Israel out that night, and they began their journey into the wilderness, into an unknown place, to a place where they could freely worship God and receive instruction from him. That in the wilderness is where he gave his people the written account of his commandments. Now, in the back of our minds, we'll also be remembering that it was on this day nearly 2,000 years ago that our Lord suffered in our place. He kept the Passover, and then the following morning he was arrested, he was beaten, he was bruised beyond recognition, his side was pierced as he hung on an instrument of death. And it was as sunset approached, beginning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that the body of Jesus was placed in a tomb. And there he rested, dead, for 3 days and three nights before being resurrected back to his former glory. This night is a reminder of the freedom of God's people from the physical bondage of slavery and from spiritual bondage, the bondage of sin. This night we can remember the wilderness that the Israelites went into and certain aspects of that journey that are important for us to remember. God chose to lead his people through the wilderness outside of Egypt, not to punish them, but he wanted to bring them into a peaceful land. There was no war in the wilderness. There was a shorter route to the promised land, but they would have encountered potential enemies, people who would later become their enemies, and they would have been afraid, and maybe they would have wanted to return to Egypt. But God wanted to bring his people into peace. And so he said that he brought them through the wilderness. Exodus 13, verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God, in verse 18, led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. It's interesting that they went in orderly ranks there. I don't know if that's, I guess that's the best way to move large crowds of people, instead of just rampaging forward. Now God did visit his people, just like Joseph had promised that he would. Exodus 13 verse 19, as we continue here, it says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you.'" So here Moses is fulfilling that promise, that agreement that Joseph had made with his people. And Joseph was right. God did visit his people in their time of need. He came to them. He heard their cries. He heard them when they were aching, when they were being afflicted, when they didn't have the freedom to go and even leave and go and worship their God as he had commanded them. With a strong hand, he came to them and brought them swiftly out of captivity. That's God's power. And the Lord was with them as the people journeyed through the wilderness into an unknown place. Except for Moses, they'd all lived in Egypt their whole lives. Moses left for a while, and then God called him back to Egypt, and God used him powerfully to rescue his people. And they went by way of an empty wilderness that they did not know. And there's something intimidating about that. At least when we're, you know, we're in the city, there's lots of people around, there's buildings, there's shops, there, you know, we can go buy something, we can buy water if we need it, if we're thirsty. In the wilderness, there's not much around. I've had the chance to be in parts of this particular wilderness, and it's very dry. Some parts are very empty. The parts that aren't very empty, they have to truck everything in. They bring all the water in. They bring all the food in. It's a beautiful place, but it is very destitute, and it can be very intimidating. I don't know if I told you guys the story about the time that I went out in the wilderness with a friend. I wasn't by myself in the middle of the night. I'll tell you that story sometime. Barefoot. I was barefoot. Yes. Maybe I'll tell it. Should I tell it? I'm going to go ahead and tell the story. And then we'll get back into these remembering God being with his people. This is my own story of being in the wilderness. So a friend of mine and I, we were on a trip. Lena and I were on a trip to Jordan. We went to a place called Wadi Rum, which is pretty destitute desert. There are Bedouins who live there. They've lived in in the wilderness for a long time, but they're very spread out. There aren't too many of them. We were with a group of friends, and we were planning a trip, and there was a driver that was supposed to come pick us up the next day. But we had to call him just to make sure that we had everything worked out. But I don't know if you've ever tried to make a phone call in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes the cell signal isn't very good. And so one of our guides, we had some guides with us, they said, they told us a spot where we could go and get cell service. The guy told one of our friends, and our friend told us. So me and this other friend, he's standing there talking to us, and he says, "Oh, go out there by that white sand that's out there." And this is nighttime. The moon is rising. You can see the stars. You can see all the stars because there's no light pollution. And so we say, "Okay, out there, we kind of see the white sand." And so we start heading that way, and we notice, well, the white sand, it's moving. Now it's over here in this spot. Well, what's going on? It was just that, it wasn't really, we weren't supposed to go to the white sand. We were supposed to go out to a certain point, and he must have misunderstood or something. And so we ended up following the moonlight across the desert. And we were barefoot because we didn't think we'd be out there that long. It was the perfect temperature. And there's no cactuses or anything like that. A few random hedgehogs. It's not too bad. We didn't step on anything. And so we were, walking out in the middle of the desert following this moonlight. And we went up on a small hill, climbed some rocks, and we were doing fine. Back at camp, our wives were stressing out. Lena was not very happy. She thought that perhaps I died.
You were gone for an hour.
Apparently, we were gone for an hour. It seemed like minutes. We were just taking a walk, taking a stroll. Eventually, they came and they found us. They brought a truck and they found us, and we were fine. We knew exactly where camp was. There were no bandits out there. And later on, we learned that if we would have gone far enough, we could have walked into Saudi Arabia, maybe gotten arrested. Yeah. Thankfully, God was with us. He was guiding us. He didn't have, as he guided the people of Israel, we didn't have this cloud following us or a pillar of fire at night. That would have been nice. We had this white sand that we followed, the moonlight going around. But God was with his people in this wilderness, in this unknown place, this empty wilderness that they did not know. They were faithfully watched over and protected by God every step of the way. At night, as they left Egypt, they were protected. In the wilderness, as they journeyed into this new territory, and even through the Red Sea, they were guided and protected from their enemies who pursued them. Chapter 13, as we continue on in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. There were times where they had to move during the day, other times they had to move at night. Verse 22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God was with his people all that time, faithfully. And tonight, as we celebrate our freedom from slavery, the freedom from sin, which grabs us and doesn't want to let go, the sin that we've repented of, that we've left behind, God has forgiven us of those sins. And he holds us close and he protects us and he's with us. Our Lord died in our place so that we could be free from that slavery. We can remember that deliverance, our own deliverance, as well as the deliverance that Israel received. Now we're going to turn to Exodus 15. We're going to read, as we close this message, we're going to read some of the words of the Psalm of Moses, the Song of Moses that he sang. As we head into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we can remember this freedom, this salvation, freedom from slavery, freedom from the sin that previously ensnared us. Let's read these words, and we'll close this message. Exodus 15, verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. A beautiful song to close with.